much fully developed the false self. Or Brennan Manning says, we've developed another person within us who is called the imposter. It is the person we have created so that you will think I am better than I really am. And you will like me and affirm me and make me feel like I have some worth. The worth I was supposed to receive from God, we go looking for that somewhere else. Now the imposter wants to hide imperfection. The imposter does not want you to know, others, does not want other people to know what's really true about what goes on in the inside of our own hearts. And so the imposter develops a wonderful strategy for hiding from other people. Who was the first person to hide in the Bible? Adam. And God came from heaven that day, as it talks about anthropomorphically, onto planet Earth to walk with Adam in the cool of the garden, and he couldn't find it. And the saddest first words in the Bible are, Adam, where are you? And Adam begins to talk about what happened to him, and it's simply a scheme, it's simply the imposter, it's simply the false self calling out in shame, saying, I needed a cover-up. Because I don't want you to know who I am anymore. And there's something wrong in my relationship with my wife. And I don't know what's going on. We don't just hide our sin from God. We hide our sin from others. The false self leads us to hide our sin from others and from ourselves. And so the goal is for you to think better of me than I am. And sadly enough, we begin to think about ourselves as better than we really are. And that's why the Bible has to say to us, get the log out of your own eye before you get the splinter out of somebody else's eye. And we all look at that and say, I don't have a log in my own eye anymore, do I? And I just say, look at the iceberg. Cleaning up the outside is easy for most of us church-going people. Cleaning up the inside is a different story. I don't want you to crawl into my mind and know what I really think all day long. Because you might not want me to preach today. But you don't want me to crawl into your mind and know what you think all day long. Because you wouldn't feel comfortable sitting in here looking at me knowing what I know about you. Last year, I took a personality test. It was a personality test that was connected to spiritual formation or spiritual growth in our lives. Pastors, Christian leaders, people in the helping professions have a strong motivation to help other people. We love helping people. That's how we're wired. So in all of our encouraging, in all of our providing leadership, in all of our counseling and care and preaching, we have this deep desire to help, but if it comes from the inside as a result of the imposter or the false self, it's often linked not to, I do this because I love God. It's often linked to, I do this because I need you to like me. I need you to need me. And I discovered that I crave affirmation, that I need to be needed, and that so much of what I've done in the ministry has been out of motives that were hidden down in the iceberg. Motives that when I really began to realize who I am, I just stopped and said, after 25 years in ministry, my motivations are the need to be needed and the desire to be affirmed. The danger of working at Salem Alliance Church is it's such an encouraging church. Don't ever stop encouraging. But we all have to admit that affirmation can be an addiction. We hold out our arm. We say, I'll help you. Then tell me you like me. Tell me I'm good. Feed the imposter. false self alive. But there's more. When you need to be needed, then there's room for pride, because you begin to feel important. People need me. They value me. I never knew that. I never knew that I thought that way. It hit me like a ton of bricks. The truth of the matter is, you know what? As you find your strengths, there's a shadow side to your life too. There's something that goes on in your life that may be different than my life. But it's the iceberg underneath. Obadiah 1:3 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." And then we go to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any offensive way." We heard fire engines just off in the distance as we were going to bed at night. They got closer and closer and closer and closer. And I thought, there must be a fire in the neighborhood. And then I saw the lights flashing through our bedroom windows. And I got up and opened up my back door of my house and saw my fence burning down and the fire about ready to jump to my garage. And I go, the fire's in my own backyard. The spirituality of imperfection comes to grips with our own self-deception. And finally says, the fire's in my own backyard. The deceit is in my heart, and I don't even know it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Get underneath me and lead me in the way everlasting. When we begin this journey into the true self, the self that's sinful and broken and needy, and the self that we don't want to know about, and the self that we've kept hidden from ourselves and God and others for so long, when the layers of the onion of our life begin to get peeled back and we get in touch with what's really there, we need something really bad. And so we come to the good news. We need to own up to our need for God's perfection, not ours. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Two kinds of spirituality. I'll read it for you. There's Pharisaical spirituality and tax collector spirituality. The Pharisee is everything I've been talking about so far. The tax collector is everything I want to talk about. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And here's the most amazing truth in the Bible. It says, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this man, this sinner, this broken person who's in touch with his false self and his imposter and is finally saying, God, have mercy on me, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Pharisaical spirituality is the spirituality of perfection. It's all about performance. It's all about getting my act together. It's all about getting my act together spiritually. It's about denial and starting to believe that I'm actually starting to get some things together in the Christian life, and I feel better about myself, and God must feel better about me too, because I had my devotions today. Because I started giving to the church and started tithing, or because I shared my faith with somebody and they actually became a Christian, or because I usher, or because I serve in the children's ministry, or because I help the homeless, or whatever it is. Performance spirituality is measurable. The Pharisee says, I fast, I pray, I tithe. You see, performance spirituality always has something to prove. It's linked to winning God's approval. It's a spirituality that starts from self and works its way to God, rather than a spirituality that starts from God, who came and died for us, and works its way to us without us performing first. Pharisaical spirituality, the focus is on us and not on God. It's narcissistic spirituality. It's always asking, how am I doing spiritually? It leads to comparison because it notices other people that fall short. And when we do something right and finally get something together in our life, we then begin to notice the other people who don't have that together in their lives. So it's a prove it and a comparison type of spirituality. The Pharisee wants to feel good about himself. So he tithes, he has devotions, he fasts. Others don't do it as good as he does. I want to ask you a question this morning. The Pharisee looks at the other person and says, God, thank you that I'm not like that. How many of you have ever read this passage in the Bible and said, thank God I'm not like the Pharisee? I came across this quote a long time ago. It's very short, very powerful. Always suspect your own righteousness. Always suspect your own righteousness. Let's talk about tax collector spirituality. Tax collector spirituality is the spirituality of imperfection. The tax collector turns the whole thing upside down. He's been trying to change. He wants to get his act together. But the iceberg underneath is showing itself, and he can't. And he realizes he can't prove anything.